Hello, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. One of the more difficult things in life is getting organized. You know, I speak to so many people who say to me, all I have to do is organize my time. All I have to do is organize my life. And one wonders, what makes people have trouble doing that? Well, I thought I'd explain it to you a little bit. You see, it's not that there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Or that organizing your life is not the proper way. Organizing your life is what some people do. Other people, they can't organize. They try to organize, but they can't. So would the very creative people be organizers? Maybe. Would the organizers be very creative? Maybe. But usually they don't go together. Let me explain the world in a structure. Imagine if you took the world and you broke it into two sections, the concrete and the abstract. The concrete is everything you could touch, feel, quantify, concrete. The abstract is emotions, thoughts, philosophy. How do you approach each one? How do you approach the concrete world? How do you approach the abstract world? In the concrete world, one little error, I'll be right with you, my friend. Hang in here a second. So anyway, back to this. If you have a concrete world, you have a world that you can weigh and judge. When you see the concrete world, what do you say to yourself? It goes in sequence? Or do you say, it's random? Anything could happen at any given time. I'll be right back with you, my friends. I'm sorry. I'll be right back. Give me a shot. Michael. everybody. This is Armand Demel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And the more you understand, the easier it is. I have a guest in the studio with me. I have a wonderful guest in the studio with me today. A psychiatrist, Dr. Jeremy Spiegel, who's visiting with us, because Jeremy has an interest in something. Welcome to WBAI, Jeremy.
Thank you, Armand.
Hey, nice to be here. This is a... Jeremy has an interest in a subject that I'm certainly fascinated with, and I'm sure all of you, which is just, how do you get your brain to stop? Or when your brain keeps going and going and going, it just won't stop. What does it mean? And why does it mean? And when is it a problem and when is it not a problem? And so let's go there. I think loosely described obsessive compulsive disorder. Is that right, Jeremy?
Yes.
What does it mean, disorder?
A disorder.
Obsessive compulsive disorder as opposed to obsessive compulsive mood? I mean, is there such a thing when it's a disorder?
Well, there are strict criteria to make the disorder. If you look in our DSM-4, the Bible of psychiatric diagnosis making, repetitive thoughts and images that are not controlled, and the compensatory response to them, the behaviors, so the mind games that you try to quell or to neutralize these obsessive thoughts or ideas, images.
Let me ask you something. There are sometimes I've learned a long time ago that when an animal feels under attack, it tends to organize. You know, like one of the things that humans do when they get scattered is they try to say, well, show me a straight line somewhere. So when a person feels fired up, nervous, whether it be the amygdala, too much coffee, too many things going on at once, there's a tendency to look for organization.
Yes.
If you're the most scattered of people, you could be a scatterbrain, and then suddenly, all of a sudden, you just want to line up the ducks.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
It makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a disorder. It could be just a momentary thing that you do because you're nervous.
Yes. However, if you're taking 50 showers a day and you're spending 6 hours in the shower because you cannot rid yourself of this perceived grunge or some entity that you can't quite purge yourself of, you will continue to do this to quell the anxiety, to make sure, because this is a disorder that used to be called the doubting disease. And
that's cute. Why was it called the doubting disease?
Well, there's this pervasive doubt that is the impetus for the continued compulsion, the continued need to neutralize these.
Continued doubt. Like, for example, if you had a door locking thing, you'd say, is the door locked? Is the door locked? Is the gas shut off? Is the gas shut off? Am I clean? Am I clean? Exactly. Are my hands clean? Are my hands clean?
Exactly.
Well, okay, now I know a lot of people who just their brains just run a mile a minute, but they don't have these real serious symptoms like the shower or the checking and stuff like that.
Yes.
Might they also have an obsessive-compulsive disorder? I mean, does it have a range?
Well, that's what's so fascinating about this, is that, when you first learn about this, you might learn that there are actually two separate kind of entities. There's this obsessive-compulsive disorder, and then there's this obsessive-compulsive personality disorder. And then, of course, is, I think, everybody else, which is... many people, as you're just saying, that many people have OC or obsessive compulsive type symptoms. Maybe they have some perfectionism, but they really don't qualify for a psychiatric disorder per se. And I think that it tells us that there might be something part of our makeup, part of our biology, that helps us negotiate certain anxieties, certain situations. by doing things, putting things in order, ritualistic behavior, compulsive, repetitive behavior. There's something, comforting about this.
So then the spectrum, there would be a spectrum of going from, I mean, just the fact that we want to put it in a category means that we can now find a reason to give it medication. You know, I think the drug companies invented the categories. So that, you know, we got a category, now we can give it a pill. Right? Here it goes. There goes the Prozac. There goes the... But if we think about it, because if I think about most disorders, I think about them on a disorder, which it was a funny word in itself. But I think of most things on a continuum, you know. Like, for example, I think about a continuum of what I call the narcissistic continuum, where a person can go from being one thing, then they can become hysterical, then they can become borderline, then they become paranoid, then they become psychopathic. And so that very person, and I see that one person could travel this spectrum one way or another, according to how much pressure they feel. So if they went into a hospital, they would get diagnosed, now you're paranoid. And then they go back another time, and you say, oh, now you're psychopathic. Mm-hmm. Then they go back another time, and they say, oh, no, now you're borderline. And it's not that somebody's getting it right and somebody's getting it wrong. It's just that the way you are at the moment is what's giving us the diagnosis. So it's highly possible that somebody who has a very serious obsessive-compulsive disorder could have an obsessive-compulsive personality and could then at another time have obsessive-compulsive traits and then at other times could be a nervous person. Is that right?
Well, certainly if somebody has truly severe symptoms, it's unlikely that that particular person is going to sort of, on the next day, without any other cause, have an attenuation of those symptoms. However, if you have a kind of mild tendency towards these things, indeed, I mean, one day might be different than another. Maybe you're in a period where there's no anxious stimulus, and so you might be able to then put your guard down. On the other hand, there's this sense of this perfectionistic personality trait that's there constantly, even when they're sleeping.
Even when you're sleeping, because you're going to make references to the dreams?
All your dreams have to be in a certain order.
Do they really?
No. I mean, this is just...
But, I mean, do things like that happen?
Well, I mean, I think that, yeah.
What about
the
dream states of the very serious obsessive compulsive? I mean, does a guy dream about the gas being really shut off? I mean, what's the dream state? Is the nightmare that the gas is not shut? If somebody has a door checking, is the nightmare that the door is open?
Yeah.
And the dream that the door is really securely locked? Is that what happens?
Well, that's fascinating. I actually don't know the answer to that.
Do you think there'd be a nice, interesting study?
Yeah, absolutely.
What are your dreams like?
Yeah.
Imagine if we found out that they dream of either perfection or chaos.
Yes. Well, I do know of somebody who has had, thinking about it, that would be where the dream content kind of concretizes in this vocabulary that they're constantly speaking to themselves in their minds. And so why would it be different in the dream state than the waking?
Well, when I think about dreams, it's very interesting, you know. And I love – I'm speaking with Dr. Jeremy Spiegel, by the way. Just one of the thinking guys, and I like having thinking guys around. This is interesting because you and I have not talked about this before. Fascinating here. And I know most people, when they dream, have either pleasant dreams, a not so pleasant but not so disturbing, just a kind of reporting dream, or a disturbing dream. Mm-hmm. I'll make you bet the disturbing dream is always chaos. I wonder if it's always, if I were to put it in my mind, is it always somebody looking to organize? Is every nightmare in the entire history of mankind that every human has ever had could be qualified down to somebody trying to organize? What do you think?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah,
thought,
that's very
it?
Interesting.
Just think about a nightmare. Oh, he's chasing after me and he wants to chop off my head and I'm running and I'm screaming and I'm trying to find safety. I'm trying to find a safe place organizing.
organizing.
Right. The ceiling is falling down, and I don't know how to take care of everything. Organizing. Ooh. It all comes out in our dreams. How interesting. We've got to pursue this a little further. Okay, let's go back to our subject, OCD. And while we're doing that, by the way, let me remind you that today's a special day here at WBAI. Stephanie Dombra's here with me today. Stephanie, what are we doing here? You know, WBAI is offering today a special premium because we need to raise money suddenly. Suddenly.
Hi, Armand. Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we do have a special premium today. A consultation with you for $175, for $175.
We've offered that before, but we're pulling it out today because the station suddenly needs a jolt of money.
Right.
And they need it really badly. 212-209-2950. For a $175 donation, you can get a one-time meeting with me in person or by Skype.
Skype is this new thing that I think people have been hearing Armand talk about. Through the computer, if you have a little video camera, you can, for free, speak in person with another person. Two computers, two people, you have a video teleconference.
Which I'll have with you, and if I don't have time to give you an appointment here, I can do it on weekends. You know, so it's great.
That's for $175. If you can donate to WBAI, we need your help. We need to support this radio. It's an ongoing request, obviously. We ask a lot, but we need your help in this really intense time in the economic woes of the world. We need your help. We need to come together. I know all of you have been feeling that you're part of this community more and more, the way Armand has been talking to you, listening to you on the calls. Please support the Positive Mind. Please support WBAI. $50 will get you a membership. Anything you can donate, but that $175 is a very special offer, one time, $175 to meet with Armand DeMille.
212-209-2950, my friends. We're going right back with Jeremy. But really, really, I need your help, my friends. I really need your help, you know. Stations, like all of our wonderful stations, are in trouble, and they need your help. Would you go to your phone, please? 212-209-2950. $175 donation. You get a meeting with me personally, or by phone, or by Skype. And I'd love to meet you. I'd love to sit down with you. I'd love to embrace you. I'd love to say hi, friend. 212-209-2950. We got Jeremy standing by. 212-209-2950. Keep making your calls. We're going to continue talking about obsessive compulsive disorder and the need to organize. OCD personality disorder or screwed up. All right. Whatever we want to call it. Here's what I'm interested in. You said, and you made a quick reference to it, some kind of organic underpinning that doesn't necessarily have to be cause, but is certainly a contributing factor. And to give you an example, if I think of someone who has an obsessive compulsive thing, whether it be personality or personality disorder, I think that it may abate, it may kind of lessen at certain times. Let's say they had a nice dinner, they were loved, they're with their family, they feel safer. And then something happens inside. Now, could it be that hormones and neurotransmitters in their ever-flowing, ever-changing way that they are can in themselves activate this by creating some kind of amygdalic chaos? What do you think? Go ahead. I know I forced you into a corner.
Well, I will say is that I think that it's, in terms of the study that's being done, of trying to get our hands around what is this disorder. And, of course, typically the scientists will study the more severe cases in order to kind of try to get a good sense of the what's going on, the structure of the brain and which structures are involved and what pathways might be involved. And, of course, in that is what neurotransmitters are involved. And if they are involved, then why is it that certain medication, if medication is used for the severe or moderate cases, then why would they be useful? Thirdly, of course, is this other part of this other three-pronged approach would be to the thoughts. How would you manage to treat this disorder non-pharmacologically without medication? And so what's interesting is that, and of course, the very important is genetics as well. And so we start to look at animal models for obsessive compulsive disorder, as these researchers have at Duke University a couple years ago, where they genetically engineered a mouse with a gene called SAPAP3. And it ends up that what they did was the ones that had the gene versus the ones that did not have the gene did not scratch themselves as much as the ones that were missing the gene. So those mice that were missing the gene were scratching themselves three times as much as the other mice, and they really wreaked havoc on their face, the mouse face. And so this is a kind of model for OC kind of symptomatology in a mammal, and of course, this is so we know that there are genes involved here. There is a biological substrate. The brain, we talk about the communication between the front of the brain, the cortico.
Now, wait a minute. Yeah. Wait. Let's back it up. Number one, it's so hard to, I worked at Albert Einstein College of Medicine, where we used to use mice for our memory storage. We used Charles River breeding mice, and we would have all these experiments. It always feels bad to hear about mice being treated a certain way. It really does. It feels like, but, when you think about what we're trying to do, we're trying to find out through these mice that were being bred for this purpose. We're trying to find out a way of helping the children and the adults who live with this torture. It hurts me to think that we have to do it on mice. I would rather use some of the people who are, like your crime is to be tested, to become a test subject. But let's say we have these mice. Now, how do we know that the mice weren't not given an obsessive compulsive disorder, but weren't given an itchy face syndrome? Like maybe you gave them a little something in their face that made their face itch, as opposed to the compulsion to scratch themselves. How would we know that? How would we know, since the mice are scratching their faces, and we're saying, look, they're scratching their faces more, therefore they are more obsessive than other mice. What if we just gave them, something that affects the skin, that makes your skin itch more? How would you know that difference?
Well, I think you look at these genes also then in humans, and you see if there's any correlation in families with certain genes and the presence of obsessive-compulsive disorder.
Science is a rough thing. Yeah. Science is a rough thing. Okay, so let's go with this for a minute. We say organic contribution, one is one chemical that we see possible, right? It's amazing. The other day in the they discovered that people who hoard have lower than normal activity in their anterior cingulate gyrus. Who would ever think that? And that by giving them a chemical that picks up the activity in the anterior cingulate gyrus, they don't hoard anymore. Hmm. I mean, the poor brain. Our poor people, we walk around and we're saying, why are you piling these things up to the ceiling? And we don't know why, but it's some little activity in our brain. So we could make a case for almost everything is chemical.
Yes, well, that's true. But indeed, Well, what's interesting, because as a psychiatrist, often people will come to me for medication. And part of the treatment, I mean, part of my treatment may be medication if it's indicated, but that's certainly not the whole treatment. That's what's so fascinating, is that you can have somebody who clearly has obsessive compulsive disorder. They're worried about some entity. It could be hepatitis, whatever. Worried, for example, that they might, if they step on something that touched something else, they're worried they have hepatitis, and then they need to get tested. And there's this whole cascade of things that, you know, if you, it's so irrational. And yet at the same time, and this is what's fascinating about OCD as opposed to, let's say, a psychosis, where you're really divorced from reality. With OCD, the person knows they're irrational. And yet at the same time, they still need to verify that it's okay, you know, that they're okay and that they will be held blameless. And that's part of this.
Wait. Let's get to that part, because that's an important part of it. So you're saying something great. When you're crazy, nice thing about being crazy is you don't know you're crazy, right? If you ask somebody, are you crazy, and they say no, good chance they are crazy. If you ask somebody, are you crazy, and they say yes, there's very little chance that they really, really are crazy, right? But if you ask somebody, these are the simple diagnostic techniques we learned in my day. A person walks in, I say, what's the matter? He says, Doc, sometimes I think I'm a wigwam. And sometimes I think I'm on a teepee. So what's wrong with me? So I say, you're too tense. No, that's just my... People come in to see us and they ask us, they want to know, how crazy am I? Please help me. Please don't be somebody who sells drugs, who wants to sell something. Please be... Tell me what's going on. So now the difference between psychotic or people who are really whacked out And the non-psychotic is that you know there's something wrong. And when you have OCD, you know there's something wrong with you for being this way. You can't help it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? I mean, like people who are hoarders, for example, they don't know there's something wrong with them, really. They believe they have to save those articles. They believe they have to stash this stuff.
I guess what I would say is there's a spectrum. Because what's interesting is that for many people with OCD, you would not treat them as if they were delusional. But there is that edge of severe OCD where it is effectively a delusion, in that they really believe, and when you ask them, they really believe that if they don't, let's say, tap 50 times in a certain order, that some unrelated event, unrelated bad event, will occur if they don't do it. And the key is, you say, well, there's no relationship between whether a plane goes down and whether you fold your napkin a certain way. I mean, there's just no scientific evidence of this. And their response might be interesting, and they may say, well, you know, that might be. But the point is that, what if I don't?
And this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're listening to Jeremy Spiegel, who's a brilliant young man, who is helping us with you about obsessive compulsive disorder.
I love this idea, because the idea is this. We're so focused, and for good reason, we are so focused on the minute. I mean, at times it could be reductionistic when we talk about neurotransmitters, or which one, or which 5-HT receptor, and there's a million of them. Maybe not quite a million, but there's quite a few. And yet at the same time, life is lived at the level of the complex. You know, I mean, we talk in terms of human relationships and behaviors and conversations. We're not living on a receptor scale as a human being, as important as they may be. And so what's interesting is we have this cortex, where we think and we do all these kind of complex processes that separates us from the lizard, the class of lizards. And yet we've retained evolutionarily, we've retained the old brain. We didn't just get rid of it as we've evolved. We it's still there. And so the talking of the old brain with the new brain, the cortex and the old brain, that's where we can do good by changing how we think. And so, for example, somebody who I treat or patients that I treat with OCD, you know, usually I don't have to vary the meds very much. Then what do? Well, we talk about what has led to their symptoms. And for many people with mild to moderate OCD, you know, they're so concerned that they will be blamed if something bad happens. So if they don't check, they will be blamed. And so we talk about how they don't trust. They don't trust anything. They don't trust a lab test. They don't trust what a professional tells them. They don't trust science or evidence. And so they have to keep checking, and they don't quite listen, and they don't trust. And why is that they don't have this trust? They have a very poor sense of risk. They don't really have a good idea about how you compare risk and the risk of contracting something, for example. There's no evidence to support their really, at times, bizarre notions. And so there's all of these things we can talk about. We can talk about why is this blame? What did they do wrong a long time ago, perhaps, that they feel guilty for, that now they've spent their half of their adulthood checking and spending all of this time checking to prevent something terrible from happening again? Maybe that's about something that's happening again they're worried about, because they already feel guilty about how they've hurt a previous relationship. So I mean, there's so much psychology to this. And when you start to dip into this, for people with usually mild to moderate OCD, you really can gain, they can gain benefit, if I'm looking at this.
I'm in awe of the fact that you would be, as a psychiatrist, using a psychoanalytic or model, which is saying, let's go backwards. Let's look in time. When did this first happen? Maybe it happened before, and maybe there's a reason, too. And I'm thinking at the same time, the treatment itself of discussing it must, sometimes you must see that it yields some positive effects, do you?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I have patients, what I will say is if you look at the studies of non-pharmacological treatment for OCD, it usually concerns this idea of changing thoughts and behavior, something called exposure and response prevention. It's basically you bring the patient to the public bathroom, you have them wipe their hands on the sink and then the toilet seat, you have them not wash, and then you go out to lunch together or something. I mean, this is exposure and response prevention.
Right.
You think you're going to lose a lot of patients.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, almighty. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Jeremy Spiegel, very daring young man. We are talking about obsessive compulsive disorder as only we can here at WBAI. And if you want to learn about yourself, learn about your control issues, learn about the things that run you that you don't run yourself, your lizard brain. We all have it. We all have this lizard brain, you know? 212-209-2900. 212-209-2950. Make your calls right now, my friends. $175 donation. And you could get in to see me and talk to me. I'd love it.
212-209-2950. Yes, you could get all sorts of information during that consultation with Armand. You come up to the DeMille Center and meet with Stephanie or Lydia and come up and see Armand. You could bring your family members. You can bring your children. I know he sees a lot of people that have obsessive compulsive disorder, and he can explain what's going on without any judgment and help you get away from the shame. 212 212- 209-2950. Make your donations. $50 to the station will support the station, keep all these programs alive, and keep the radio going. 212-209-2950 for $175. That donation goes directly to the station. It's community support, and Armand will give his time to meet with you for 45 minutes. 212-209-2950. Make your calls. You can have a consultation over the phone. If you have the computer technology, you can do Skype face-to-face with Armand. I know there are people that sometimes don't want to leave their house. They have other kind of phobias. Armand will address that with you during a consultation for $175 to the station. 212-209-2950.
Interesting music. That's talking drums. So we're talking with you, communicating with you from New York through the aerial to your soul. Please, my friends, 212-209-2950. Donations right now. Donate. Give it to somebody you love. Somebody you care about needs help. Send them over. I'll take care of them. 212-209-2950. I think there must have been one or two people who walked away and said, I didn't like it. But I'd say that's out of thousands that I've consulted with. Because there's nothing not to like. I don't offend you. I don't want to hurt you. Don't you get it? I love you.
I know you embrace everyone, Armand. You have been embracing all the callers lately. Please support us. Support the radio station. I know you're out there. I know the people that listen to you, Armand. They support you. They love you. They appreciate you. Please show your appreciation to the station, 212-209-2950. Any amount will help the station to keep going so we could bring interesting programs, The Positive Mind, and all the other shows that you can hear on the WBAI community support. We need your help. 212-209-2950.
If the lines are busy down there, we only have two lines open. You just keep calling back, my friends. 212-209-2950. Special friends down there answering the phones.
Thank you, Marty.
Lydia.
Thank you, Lydia. Always a pleasure to hear that you're down there. We love that you go down and support the station in your way.
And once you make your appointment, by 3 o'clock today, you can call my office and we'll give you the appointment. You don't have to wait to get a thing in the mail or any of that, because we know you're honest. 212-209-2950. Make your calls. When you've worked with people where you've exposed a cause, could you give me an example of a case where your cause was exposed and then as a result of that, the person was no longer blind or something? I could walk. I can see.
Right. Well, I think, what I would love is a kind of Hollywood-esque, epiphany, and then they're cured and they don't need the walker.
I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You must have seen it. I'll bet you have seen Hollywood-esque epiphanies that have happened because they happen,
mm-hmm.
You know, but it's not generally the case.
Yes, of course.
I'm going to ask you about this, but I noticed that we're coming up near our break time where we have to do a station identification. And when we come back, I'd like you to, number one, discuss that with me, and then I would like to go even a step further to explore this as a... as what the potential is, because the other side of it is, trying things like biofeedback or different reality testings. I'll tell you one story that I found fascinating, which is a woman was afraid of take a shower. And she wouldn't take a shower because every time she took a shower, so now this is level of phobias, she had a phobia about taking a shower because every time she took a shower, she saw the Andrea Doria coming out of the shower, coming down to crush her. Fascinating thing. We tried to find every possible way that this may have had a cause. And the backside of this, the back product here, but she did take baths, but she couldn't take showers. After a year of investigation and working and trying everything we could, we discovered that she had a very sensitive skin. She was very sensitive. And that what happened is when she showered, she became sexually aroused. That the very act of the shower on her skin in that lightness would make her aroused or maybe make access to her arousal potential. And it was only when the therapist went into the person's fear of sex and the sexual arousal that the whole thing uncovered. Mm. And it's like, it's the most fascinating detective work. Listen, we've got to take a short break. We will be back with you in just a minute, my friends. And during this time, make your calls right now, 212-209-2950. Here's the time, my friend, WBAI Radio. We have 10 minutes to get you to give us everything we need, including a pizza. 212-209-2950, if you would. 212-209-2950. Make your call. The $175 donation gets you a meeting with me, personally. Or Stephanie Dombra, personally. Nice thing. Or, for a $50 donation, you can become a member of BAI, or $25 level, you can also. Please give them some money. They need it. This is an economy which does not favor the good stuff. Just we keep paying money for the bad stuff. So it's up to you to put up your money for what counts. My friends. It's our time. It's our chance. It's our opportunity. Yes, I hate. This is Armand DeMille back with you with the Positive Mind. My guest, Jeremy Spiegel. A little while ago, I went with a friend of mine to a dentist. She had this jaw pain. She had this deep, deep pain, and it was really bad. And he couldn't figure it out, dentist specialist. And he said, nope, nothing I could see here. No, it's not that. It's not TMJ. No, it's not this. It's not that. He says, nope, I don't know what it is. So I said to him, what do you think it is? He said, well, I don't know what it is. It's nothing I know. And I said to him, well, wait a minute, doc. I said, think. He said, what do you mean, think? I said, think. You know all the stuff. Put it together in your box and think, what might it be? He said, well, I don't know what it is. And I went away. And I said to myself, wow, couldn't get him to think. Call me up. He called me up within a half hour on my cell phone, and he said to me, I was thinking about it. He said, it was really interesting. He said, and he said, perhaps it has to do with this filling that she had a long time ago, this traumatized filling. He said, could she come back and look at it? I won't even try. He was excited now because he has actually thought. And it touched my heart so deeply to think that so many professionals in the field get locked into their one place and they stop thinking. Mm. And you, my friend, I love the way you think. So let's continue with this. We're talking, if people just tuned in, with obsessive compulsive disorder. We're talking about obsessive compulsive disorder with Dr. Jeremy Spiegel. And not just disorder, but behaviors and so on and so forth. And I was asking Jeremy for an example of where psychological insight into a related past experience may in some way trigger this obsessive-compulsive, the serious kind, well, even the not serious kind, why, how it may trigger it. And tell me, just give me an example of how that might have happened.
Well, for example, I mean, certainly for ultra-severe cases, I would not suggest that the there was an inciting event which, if only uncovered, then they would be rid of this.
Right.
But, however, once you do, you know, once you start to treat the symptoms, there's always more. Because people have histories. People live a real life. People don't live on the level of neurotransmitter receptors. They live in the world of behaviors and worry. And so, for example, I mean, I've had patients who might have had a, sort of a guilty feeling about something that they've done in a relationship with their primary relationship, and maybe something compulsive.
Can you give me like a real specific, a person who did this, discovered this? Can you think of one? Or I know there's privacy. You know, the issue of privacy, but most of the people I know who I usually ask them if I could talk about it on the radio. But is there one that you could talk about that would be, you know, you saw this happen with the person? Ah, I love it. Of course, he protects. I love it. Of course he protects. Jeremy Spiegel. You don't want to say anything because you're not really sure that in some way you wouldn't be exposing anything. Hey, this is Armand DeMille. I wish we had more time today. We don't. Unfortunately, we are truncated today because we must raise money for the station, and we're in our last 5 minutes where we could do this. I have opened up the premium so that you could, in this last 5 minutes, make a call to the station, make a donation to the station, and get to meet with me for a reduced fee of $175. Significant discount to what my normal fee would be. I don't get the money. The station gets the money. You get my time. I get to meet you. It's a beautiful thing.
Call 212-209-2950 to meet with Armand for a consultation. $175. For $50, $25, you can get a student membership for $50 that will help the station, a straight donation. I'm sure you can get a little gift, a little token gift that they always give. But it will help all listeners. If you make any kind of contribution, it will help keep this radio station going. Pacifica Radio Station, Armand is going to be 60 years old in this country, I heard.
60 years old.
60 years old. So that's really fascinating. I'm sure that in New York City there are plenty of people that have been listening to this station for 40 years.
Sure.
And they've heard and experienced so many things.
What an amazing thing we did.
212-209-2950. All you listeners, young, medium, old, everybody is a family member of this station. I see it, and it's such a beautiful thing to be part of it. 212-209-2950. Support WBAI, support The Positive Mind, support Armand and all his work and all his love and embracing of all of you. Please call 212-209-2950. Keep the calls coming. I know that you're all touched by this show. Sometimes we are all crying at once when a person calls in. It's quite a beautiful thing. It's community radio at its finest. 212-209-2950. Please support WBAI. Let us keep going as long as we can. We're all going to keep going. 212-209-2950. $175. It's a reduced rate. It's quite a bargain. I'm sure you all know that. For $175, you can really support the station. 212-209-2950. You can make a donation, and Armand will give the time to the station and meet with you for 45 minutes. Phone consultation in person up at the DeMille Center. You can see this studio where we broadcast from Skype. the new thing that Armand is talking about. It's really wonderful. 212-209-2950. Make your calls. Support the station. 212-209-2950. I love to see all the people that come here too, Armand. It's wonderful to see. And as he said, he makes you feel good. Even if you're sad and there's problems, somehow you're going to be embraced by him when he meets with you. It's quite a gift. You can give it to anyone, your friends, family, partners. Come as a couple. I've seen so many beautiful people come in together and they leave lighter in their step, Armand. That's how I say it. They walk away feeling a little bit lighter with their life circumstance just by meeting you. 212-209-2950. Plus, you really know your stuff, Armand. You are trained and licensed and a clinician, so you understand the mind very beautifully, and you have a beautiful way of explaining it to people. That's the gift that the Positive Mind radio show allows, people to hear these things, learn these things, but with this special touch that you have. 212-209-2950. For $175, you'll get that consultation, and you'll keep supporting this beautiful, important radio station, WBAI. 212-209-2950. 209-2950.
All right, we got to turn it over to Michael. As I hear, we have come to the end of our program. 212-209-2950. Thank you, my friends. Thank you so much, Stephanie Domber. What an amazing amount of love.
You're welcome.